Goodbye, Town Hall 14, and hello, Town Hall 15. You look so nice. This week, we're joined by a very special guest as we talk about all the new super cool toys that Supercell has given us in Town Hall 15. Unfortunately, this was recorded on Friday, so we are not able to talk about the recall spell, but there is a ton of other stuff. Full of good laughs as always. Enjoy this episode of the Clash Tips Podcast. Welcome back to the Clash Tips Podcast. This is probably going to be the most exciting episode we have ever done to date. And today we are joined by somebody who is super special, somebody who has such a love for Clash. I've been watching this individual for a very long time. We were actually just chatting before we started this episode, and I have kind of known this person for about 7 years. And one thing that you can immediately see about them whenever you see them casting or streaming is, number one, they have a huge love for the game Clash of Clans. Number two is this person has a great love for other people. And that's something that is easily seen whenever you see them on their streams. We want to welcome today, Aries with Aries Gaming. How are you, Aries?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for that. That was, we were chatting earlier and you said that you see me, you've known of me for 7 years. And I'm like, wait, what? I didn't even know anyone knew of you back then.
No. TD, how long have you known Aries?
I don't know. It was like 3 weeks ago and you said, hey, this is the next person we're going to talk to on the podcast. I was like, cool, let's do it.
So I was really heavily involved in the podcast community back in the day. And that's kind of where I saw you from a distance. We've never, I don't think, ever really been in the same clan together. We've been in similar Discord servers over the years or similar GroupMes over the years. I have popped in and out of the game for a while. So now, enough of me talking, because you're the amazing person here. And we are going to get to Town Hall 15. So all of you that are chomping at the bits know more about Town Hall 15. Hold your horses. We're going to get there. But first, we want to meet Aries. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you play the game, what town halls do you play, etc.?
Yeah, so I have been playing this game since 2014. I've known about the game since it came out because my little brother started playing it like right when it was released. And I remember making fun of him for it, and now look at me. But so I played 2 years after it came out, and I was just really super casual for quite a while. And then I kind of found out more about recruiting, and it kind of led into finding about the Clash. Like, there's a whole community around it, like on Reddit. And there was, like, obviously back then we were on Band. Like, there was all kinds of different stuff. And then we made our way to Discord. But
and Line.
Oh, yes, Line. And it was really spread out. And now I feel like it's more kind of concentrated, which is nice. But yeah, I play every town hall from 4 to 14.
Holy cow.
I have way too many accounts.
It's is not TD like your brother?
Yeah, you got problems.
Yeah, it's too many, but, you know, I'm okay with it. And I really only farm like two or three at a time. So the others I just have in my community clan that I help level it up. But So, you know, it's not as bad.
Well, so it's funny that TD says that. I don't know if you know this about TD, but he currently has 26 accounts, two of each from what, level 5 to level 14?
No,
after you check out of your mental hospital, why don't you tell Aries how many accounts you actually have?
No, it's funny because, like, you're literally describing me. People are like, how do you manage so many bases? Because I make content for, you know, TikTok. I do some YouTube stuff, but I like to be able to show strategies for people at every different town hall level. Granted, there's not like a huge community of people that are like Googling top town hall 2 war attacks,
right?
But I just thought, I mean, it's like, it's not hard to have a couple of town hall 2s and 3s and 4s, But so I have two of each. Plus I had like a rogue base that I picked up from my wife after I had already established that two of each town hall. And it was a town hall 10 when she gave it to me back in like March, I think, of this year. And so it's currently sitting as, I've never had a rushed base before, but it's currently a very rushed town hall 14. So I now have 27 accounts and I'm eagerly looking forward to adding two more because I've already started the upgrade train.
Oh my goodness.
So Aries, what's your favorite town hall to play? Do you have a favorite?
I always have enjoyed the top town hall at the time, but like so many people I've heard over the years, I thought I was just like the weird one before I started streaming, right? Before I started creating content about 2.5 years ago, I thought I was just the weird one, but I loved town hall 9. Like that was always forever my favorite.
Go ahead.
I have 3 town hall 9s. They're going to stay that way forever because I just enjoy them so much. But it's for me, it's always the top town hall because it's like what's shiny and fancy and new.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yes. I always have my OG love.
Yeah. So top town hall and town hall 9, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you play any games other than Clash or is Clash life?
I mean, primarily Clash is life. Clash has been my consistent, like I've never taken a break from the game. I've logged in at least once a day for the last, you know, however many years. But I do play Brawl Stars, but I just rage too much at Brawl Stars. Like Brawl Stars makes me so angry sometimes because you get in with bad randoms and then it's just like, no. But if I can find a group of friends to play with, then I'm set. But yeah, like I do some other PC gaming like Red Dead Redemption, that kind of stuff. But like the consistent has always been Clash.
So Clash Royale does that to me. TD, I don't know if you play Clash Royale at all, but I rage whenever I put down my cards and then I have those somebody who throws out emote after 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 emote. And I just go crazy. I'm like, I throw my phone across the room. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to play it anymore. Have you ever tried Clash Royale?
I did one time. This was right when I first started making YouTube content. So sometime in like mid 2019, I only got into it because my son wanted to start making YouTube content for, I think he was playing Fortnite at the time. And he's like, oh my gosh, you should make Clash content for YouTube. And you should, and I play Magic the Gathering in paper. I have a lot of cards, but I also play on their arena format. And he's like, you could do Clash of Clans stuff and arena stuff. And so after, I want to say I'd maybe made 9 videos or so for YouTube, and he was like, we should do a, you know, like a crossover collaboration episode where, like, you know, I'll do something on Clash, because he had quit playing Clash of Clans by that time. He played like when the game first came out for like 6 months, and then I took his Kindle Fire, and that was one of my first minis. And he was playing Clash Royale at the time, so, you know, I'm sitting there, and it's funny, I watched it probably like a month and a half ago because he brought it up, and he's sitting next to me, and I don't show my face in anything, and he hasn't shown his face in anything, but it's like we're sitting on the couch in the loft at our house, and you know, I gave him a really easy attack. It's like it was like a weak rush town hall 12 that I was attacking, or that he was attacking, with like a max town hall 12. He's like, I'm so good at this. And so then he's got me playing Clash Royale. I have no idea how the game works, but like he had Hog Riders in there and he's like, all right, so what you want to do? And I'm like dropping spells and playing stuff. I'm like, Hog Rider! And I got completely destroyed. I was like, I won, right? So that is the extent of my personal experience of playing Clash Royale.
Very nice. So Aries, I'd heard more about you back when Rigoletto did his podcast. Not sure if you were familiar with Rigoletto back in that time. Did you have any involvement with Rig during the time that he did his podcast?
I didn't. I actually came into the Bife River family like shortly after he stopped. And then, you know, he had some medical issues after that. I knew him by association, but I never actually knew him. Like he was in the server. He was a little bit active before he kind of, you know, totally went off, but it was between him and I would listen to his podcast beforehand. I just wasn't in the family. And then it was between him and another podcast you'll probably know of, the Fatty and Mustard
show. I remember that.
Yeah, with Colonel Mustard. He was a good friend of mine. And so between those two is why I even found out about BFE.
Do you stream for a particular family, or do you just stream for pretty much anybody, or what exactly do you do? When are you requested to stream for stuff? Why don't you give us kind of a rundown of what your streaming life looks like?
Yeah. So the whole reason that I started streaming was to cover Bife River Wars. We were in Champions War League. I think it was season 5. We were in the semifinals And we were having a really hard time finding somebody to cast the wars live. And back then it was a little bit different because it wasn't like the 5v5 format, right? It was mixed and it was a big breakdown depending on the division that you were in. But we were having a hard time finding somebody to cast it. And I was like, heck, I'll just do it. Let's go. So right after that kind of ignited that passion in it. And I always made like strategy videos, but it was only for clan mates because I've been a clan leader since like 2015. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit different, like exposing it to the whole world rather than just like my friends, you know, in the clan. But yeah, so I did a lot of the 5v5, like once they branched off into the 5v5 stuff, I did a lot of that just because it was easier to stream. But I still did some mixed breakdowns as it was kind of fading out for the Bifrover family. There's a couple other clans in that family that I did that for a couple years. And then the clans that I run are Phoenix Fire and Monster Within. Mm-hmm. And so any content that I can do for them, but primarily what I do on like a day-to-day basis is for the competitive community. So through the various league divisions that they have, the wars, you know, depending on what league it is, what time, that's where I get all my content.
Do you have a cat?
I do. Yeah.
I love it. No, I have two cats. I did. I heard her. I heard her asking for mama, and I have two cats. And so when I heard it, I immediately looked around because sometimes my cats will slip into my recording room. I'm not going to call it a recording studio because there's an old baby chair and there's an old dresser. There's a bike that kind of looks like a Peloton with clothes on it. So it's not really a recording studio, but I immediately looked around. I'm like, wait, did Kiki get in here? And then I thought, oh wait, no, that's not me. That's probably Aries. Cause I know, well, it could be. Trample, do you have a cat in that car?
I do not. I was actually going to just confirm that while I do have a nice climate controlled mobile office recording studio, it does not come equipped with any live animals. I also don't have any dead animals in the car. I guess I should be clear on that.
Yeah, you should definitely preface that.
What is your cat's name?
So I have four cats.
Nice.
Crazy cat lady. The one that was just, she's very vocal and she's often vocal on my streams too. Her name is Tardy.
Okay.
And then I have another one who's in here too that was contributing to some of that, and that was Mouse.
Yes, Mouse.
Cat named Mouse, yeah.
So I am half a crazy cat lady, if that's the case, because I have two cats, and then I have two dogs in addition to that. And Trample has two dogs, correct, Trample?
I do. I have a golden doodle and a mini Australian shepherd who are just a little bit over 2 years old. They actually share a birthday.
Aww, how cute.
Very nice.
I have three
We're stupid.
Dogs, so yeah, it's all kinds. And a giant rabbit. I have a giant rabbit as well. So it's just crazy, crazy house over here.
Very nice.
How much is your rabbit weigh?
Last we checked was like a year ago and he was about 22.
Okay.
22 nice. Pounds.
I was, when you said giant rabbit, I was like, I bet it's like 25 pounds. That is a very large rabbit. I had rabbits as a kid, which is dumb in Las Vegas because it's too hot for them to really survive. But we got two boy rabbits. One of them turned out not to be a boy. And then we ended up with 15 rabbits. They told us at the pet store.
I have so many questions about that. Like, oh, we looked. Oh, yeah, that's a boy. And then you hand it. No, this what?
I don't know. We were at the pet store and my parents were like, oh, if you guys want to get rabbits, that's cool. So I was like, this one's cool. I picked a white one. My brother picked one. They're like, oh, they're both boys. And my brother's rabbit was a girl. It's like, you know, then we had like 17 rabbits and then our neighborhood cats had some snacks and then we had 9 rabbits. And I don't have any of them in my car.
This was a perfect moment for your parents to sit down and have a birds and the bees conversation. This is actually not a boy rabbit. This is why.
And it's weird too, like, I don't want to like derail the conversation, but like discerning rabbit genitalia is actually not that difficult. Although it's really hard to tell the difference unless you know exactly what you're looking for. And apparently the people at the pet store had no idea.
A little bit of background on that subject. Also not to derail the whole conversation, but
let's go.
Yes.
I grew up on a ranch. And we had about 3 acres and I raised rabbits ever since I was 9 years old when we moved here. And so, yeah, I will say that it is different to decipher between the two. But yeah, they're different. You can definitely tell if you know what you're looking for.
What's up, Doc? Okay, moving on. We are going to focus on Town Hall 15 now. no more derailed conversation. I got to keep us online here. So I am overly pumped, overly excited. Of course, I get overly excited about a lot of stuff. And I'm curious, Aries, what was your initial response to the scheme, the color, the overall response, the release, Supercell, the creators, what they released? What were your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah. So instantly, I've been praying for a purple town hall. I mean, town hall 14 had a little bit of purple here and there, but it's primarily green with like the golds and stuff. Right. So anyone who's ever been on my stream or in my server, even, you can tell that my favorite color is purple.
Love purple.
Yeah. And so when I saw that, like those different color purples, I was so excited. I was just like, finally, my wish.
And actually, you just put out a TikTok, your first TikTok, where you went through the color scheme on TikTok. Where did you come up with that idea? And I'm sure that you were super excited to do something like that.
Yeah, I'm actually going to do that for every town hall, but I wanted to start off with 15 because obviously that's like what I'm obsessed about right now. Mm-hmm. And everybody is, because we're all excited. But yeah, it's just, for me, it was really like, I just wanted to see the actual color schemes of each town hall, because like when I, on my server, like on my clan server, we pick the color and that's what role we make the color. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, well, what are we going to choose for this? So as I was trying to decipher the color for what color I should make the role for 15, as we get ready for it, I was like, I should do something where I show all the colors like meshed together. So I was like, hey, this is the perfect opportunity for my first TikTok. Let's go.
Very, very nice. I would put all the colors together and it'd turn out to be like poop brown. That's about how much artistic ability I have. Trample, you're super artistic, right?
Not even close. No, I'm not. Okay. We're being sarcastic. Yes. Yes, I am. I'm good at telling red from green.
So Aries, did you have any thoughts on any of the new concepts that Supercell's bringing out? So they introduced two new defenses from the very beginning. I thought they were both pretty cool, but I want to get your feedback. The first one was the monolith. It upgrades with Dark Elixir, which I found very interesting. It targets 15% of the maximum health plus 200 damage, which is just a tad bit confusing to me. And then, of course, the second defense that they introduced was the Spell Tower, which was very cool. And actually, Trample, I'm not sure if you noticed or not, but they actually, somebody talked about a Spell Tower on Reddit, on the Clash of Clans subreddit, like a year or two ago. And I remember that post, and everybody was downvoting the dude because everybody was like, ah, Spell Tower, that's stupid. And of course, we all know how much we love trolls on Reddit, right? I don't know if you saw that or not, but we have the Spell Tower, which at level one, it does a rage spell, which allows the defenses that's within its circumference to do double damage. Level two is a poison spell. That seems a little weak to me. And then level three is an invisibility spell, which is super interesting. I think that's going to give base builders a lot of interesting things to do. Aries, what did you think about all of that?
Yeah, so for me, I think I've dabbled in base building just a little bit. I'm far from, you know, it's sketchy still. But from what I know of that kind of side of the game, because the more you know about base building, in my opinion, the better player you are. Mm-hmm. Just because you approach the way that you look at the base, obviously much different. But for me, I think it's going to totally switch the meta on its head, because it's going to be really defensively strong now. And there's not like, it's different than just like, oh, okay, we're adding a defense. This defense does one thing. It's like the mix and match kind of idea, which I think was just kind of further along with the Hero Pet announcement that we had too. I know you haven't mentioned that yet, but I mean, there's just so many things on this update. It's going to be huge, and it's going to totally change the way we play the game.
So Trample, I know that you did an attack against the Monolith and against the Spell Tower. The only thing that I'm a tad bit disappointed in is that there's only one Monolith and there's only one Spell Tower. Do you think that that's a negative on Supercell's part?
So there'll be two Spell Towers.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
And there is only one Monolith, which I'm actually not that bent out of shape about. I've seen, so I posted something I was actually, I'm kind of disappointed. I was, you know, just excited this morning to post my TikTok on the pets, but I posted something before I went to bed last night. That's like one of the most low effort posts I could possibly make. And it's currently sitting at like 500,000 views. So nobody's watching my pet one. Cause when people come on, they're like, oh, you know, Trample Damage has this cool video. And it's really just showing some of the high hit point troops going against side by side, a single target tower and a monolith. And so the interesting thing is, I'm assuming neither of you seen this TikTok that I made yet. If you guys had to guess what can take down a P.E.K.K.A. faster between a monolith and a single target tower, what would your guess be?
So I actually watched the TikTok. Ares guess.
I feel like I've seen it. So I think I might be, because I was on your TikTok too.
Oh, okay. Well, so they
be cheating.
The interesting thing is, like, even for the highest damage troops, the monolith finishes them off like a half a second sooner, but they both are taking troops down at about the same rate. I think the biggest differential is going to be like, so I'm in my head, I'm likening the monolith to basically just a single target Inferno tower, essentially, that is not impacted as badly by a freeze spell. Because like the single target tower, there's a lot of time built up in the beginning where it's not dealing a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden it's like lights out. Well, a freeze on the Inferno tower is much stronger than a freeze against the monolith. But the monolith actually does a better job against the lower hit point troops. Like you had mentioned, a little bit of confusion in terms of the damage. So it's basically, I don't know the exact timing for the monolith fire, but I want to say it's like every 1.25 seconds is my guess. I haven't looked at the specs. We'll have to ask Clash Ninja.
That feels about right.
So basically I'm thinking that it's dealing, because it's 200 damage per second. So call it roughly 250 damage per shot plus 15% of the troop's base hit points. So against a 10,000 hit point Barbarian King, it would deal the 250 base damage per shot plus another 1500. So against a troop like a Bowler, it's going to get, you know, popped in two shots. Valkyrie is going to go down in four shots. A Barbarian is one shot, obviously. What you're going to wind up seeing is, like, I think troops sitting right in the middle, like maybe like Bowler-ish hit point range, you'll see a noticeable difference in how quickly a monolith could take it out relative to a single target tower, because a single target tower has to build up to the amount of hit points to take them out, whereas the monolith is just going to take them out in like one shot or maybe a second shot. But against like high hit point troops, like the, you know, the golems and the lava hounds and the king and the royal champion, you're not actually all that dissimilar from it almost just being like another Inferno tower. So I'm not that disappointed that it does have more hit points though than an Inferno tower. I want to say it's got like a little bit more than 1,000 additional hit points. So I think it's cool. I think two would have been overkill, especially because I think Ares hit it right on the head from a base designer's perspective. And this is also something that's going to be super cool for attackers. Right now, we look at the base layout and we think, okay, Eagle Artillery's here, Town Hall's here, Scatter Shots are over here, Royal Champion, Enemy Queen, Clan Castle. I got a general idea based on wall structure, how I want to approach this. You could literally take a base that has two spell towers set to both Rage, both Poison, both Invisibility, one Rage, one Invisibility, and that by itself could fundamentally change how you choose to attack. Because like one of the test wars that I was in, I saw a base that ideally at Town Hall 14, it would be like, oh, a clone bomb in the middle, like a Hydra attack with like three clone spells going to decimate the core. And I was like, oh, this is going to be no problem. And oh my gosh, my balloons just got completely wiped so fast. There were double rage spells in the core, rage spell towers in the core around two scatter shots, the eagle, two expos. I was like, oh man, all that stuff is going to be gone. They didn't get either scatter shot. They didn't get the eagle artillery. Like everything vaporized so quickly because of how much damage those rage spells dealt. They just took all the balloons down so quickly before they could do anything. So it's really going to reshape how people think about building bases. And, you know, you said that you're not that impressed with the poison tower. I'll say one thing about the poison tower and then I'll shut up so you guys can get a word in edgewise. Imagine all of a sudden in the middle of the base, you have Town Hall 13 troops or Town Hall 12 troops instead of Town Hall 15, because that's essentially what the poison tower is going to wind up doing. Their damage per second, it's like instantly nerfing all of those troops, and it makes a huge impact in the development of an attack.
So Ares, obviously you stream a lot of high level wars and you know the value of being able to use your heroes effectively. In fact, that's the one big difference that we've talked about on this podcast between a professional, a really good Clash of Clans player, and your average Clash of Clans player who mainly focuses on their troops. Do you see the monolith as kind of a hero killer? Because it essentially is going to do the most damage to high hit point troops, since it's going to do 15% of that total rather than a set amount. And it is very similar, as Trample said, likened it to a single target Inferno. Do you think that this is Supercell's attempt to kind of balance heroes at Town Hall 15, since they're so OP at Town Hall 14?
Yeah, I think they've been too strong for quite some time. And you'll see that, like, you know, in my war attacks, you can't see that. But in high level, in a high level, you know, wars, you see these guys, I mean, sometimes getting upwards of like 40 to 50% with just their heroes, and like maybe if they do like a blaze or something like that. But the way that they use, I totally agree with you there. The way that the pros use their heroes and the effectiveness that they can use to get as much as they need out of them really does make a difference. Also, like recovery, how they recover, how they're one step ahead, all those things, you know, totally shape a pro player. But yeah, I think this is definitely Supercell's attempt to kind of rebalance the hero portion, which is really nice, because instead of, like I said, just throwing out another troop and kind of taking the lazy way, I feel like they're putting a lot of effort into making sure that, you know, one of the things I was really worried about was that they were going to add another hero.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, please do not do that, because they're already strong enough. But because of the way that the sequence has gone, you know, every, you know, almost odd one that we have, mm-hmm. we get another hero. And so right. I know a lot of people were wondering if there's going to be another hero, and I'm glad to see that there's not.
So what do you feel, or what are your feelings about the spell tower? Do you think that you're going to be using the rage, poison, or invisibility? Obviously, us normal people who are not level 3 creators like Trample have not had a chance to play with it yet. What do you think you're going to use, just taking a first glance? I know that you said that you have done a little bit of base building. Do you see one as possibly more valuable than the other?
Yeah, it's going to be huge on the change. Just, I mean, even if it was just that alone, I think, like Trample said, it's something that's totally different. And it's another way for the base builder to kind of confuse as to what's going on, right? I mean, you're just going through, like, say, if I love to do Blizz Lalo. Mm-hmm. So something like that, if I were to send my Blizz in the beginning and troops pop out and we're getting ready to take out an entire section, well, you're going to either have it poisoned, invis, or they won't be able to see the value that I need them to take out. So it's going to be interesting. I think for me, I'll probably use more of like the invisibility thing. I think if you can make those key defenses, like in a certain part of the base where you want it to be invis, that way that it can't be taken out with just a blaze mm-hmm. or a Yeti bomb or any of those things. It has to stay up. And then the attacker then has to go into kind of panic mode to think, okay, how am I going to get this value otherwise?
So Trample, whenever you click on this spell tower, can you see what spell it's on? Like, can you see if it's rage, poison, yep. or invis? Kind of like you can see if it's a multi or a single?
Yes. So, well, the difference, even, you know, with the single target tower, you know, visually it looks a little different, because it's almost like a, what are they called? A disco ball. It's almost like a disco ball top mm-hmm. versus what looks like the Eye of Sauron or something.
Right, right.
And the expo, you can see it's angled up. The spell tower, you will literally see it, the poison spell tower, when it's set to the poison, it looks like a globe-shaped goblet that is full of the orange poison spell color. Okay. When it's an invisibility setting, you can literally see, like, it's like somebody just went, I'm just going to take this snippet of the picture for the invisibility spell of the little light green bottle, and it's just sitting right on top of the spell tower, and the same thing for the rage spell. So it's like very clearly purple, orange, okay. or green. So as the attacker, you can very quickly see what it is.
And you know what I just thought of is a lot of base building is difficult in that once that base is burnt, whether that be on Burnt Base or any of the other services that use that type of thing, it's difficult to move traps in order to kind of reset the base, so that way the base can't just be beat the same way over again. If you have this spell tower, and maybe on Burnt Base the attack has the spell tower using the rage ability, the rage spell, but then you instead decide to use the poison, or instead decide to use the invisibility spell, that one change will completely and utterly distract the attacker. It will completely change the base. It will essentially be something that you're going to have to attack completely differently just because of that one change to the spell tower. Do you see that?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Definitely.
It'll be interesting. We'll have to see. So, Aries, you mentioned no new heroes, which I was as well happy about that. I did put out a TikTok or a YouTube short on a new hero idea, hoping in the background that it wouldn't actually come true. But no new hero. So that's pretty big information. It, Trample, were you hoping for new heroes?
Yeah. I mean, I like playing with stuff. There are so many toys, and I like being able to tinker with stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, I've actually had a lot of people commenting because I've been posting stuff on Reddit, because that's actually one neighborhood that, like, the, you know, like the big creators, they don't actually tend to pay a lot of love or give a lot of love on Reddit. Mm-hmm. And they force people to leave Reddit as a platform to go look for information on YouTube. But so I've been getting a lot of commentary on some of the stuff I've been posting. And a few of the comments I've seen have said stuff like, you know, this just looks like there's so much, like it feels like they're doing too much at once. And I'm like, I don't know, this, like, is there too much of a good thing? Like, it's just lots to play with. So if they had given us a new hero, I'd have been like, yay, there's another, I don't know, $200 I'm going to wind up spending for Book of Heroes or for gems to skip the upgrade times, or I don't know. But at the same time, I'm really happy with all the stuff that's been revealed so far. Even if they stop there, I feel like it's so much cool new content that I would be excited with the update, even if they stopped as is.
Well, if you looked at the Town Hall 14 release versus the Town Hall 15 release, to me, it's not that much different. So, for example, at Town Hall 14, they released the poison bomb. They released the 5 new defenses and the 5 battle builders. They released 4 new pets. They released 5 new hero levels. And then if you look at Town Hall 15, it's not that much different. I mean, the defenses are different. And I mean, I guess if you compare the spell tower, the monolith to the battle builders, like the monolith and the spell tower are quite a bit more OP than the battle builders are, but also that building capability is pretty huge as well. So looking at the two releases, I don't see a lot of difference. Aries, do you see where I'm coming from? Do you see a lot of difference between Town Hall 14 and the Town Hall 14 and Town Hall 15 release as far as defenses go?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've heard that too with some of my clan mates, that they're saying it's just so much. Like, how are we going to prioritize? And, you know, how are we going to go about, like, what we want to say? And it's kind of the same idea with Clan Capital too, whenever that first came out. I mean, we saw so much stuff to do. Like, it was definitely busy work, but the difference here is that, you know, we can play around with things as they're, you know, once we build them and get them on the base, we can figure out, we're still learning and trying to find out the best way to combat it. So for me, like, I always put out an upgrade guide for my community, just
very,
like,
nice.
This is what I would do. But at the same time, like, I know a lot of people are just going to want to rush through it and just play with all the new shiny toys, but it doesn't feel that overwhelming to me because we've been waiting for this for a while. They're still on track, obviously, with their timing that they had discussed years back, but it's just something that I think we're ready for. I think this game has been, you know, kind of just chugging along, and we definitely, you know, for those that are, I know not everybody's going to upgrade to 15. Mm-hmm. Some people like their own town hall and they'll stay there forever, but the goal obviously is to push to the top and get all the new shiny stuff. So
agreed. So make sure you send me that link, and everybody, we will put Aries' upgrade schedule in the show notes. So that way you guys have access to that if you want to read that. So I'll get that from you afterwards. Trample, I'm curious the difference between Town Hall 14 release and Town Hall 15 release. What are your thoughts?
I do not undervalue the Builder Hut. I've had people comment like, oh, it's good that they've got, like, real defenses now instead of just the Builder Hut. And I'm thinking every single person who has ever played as a Town Hall 14 has had a 1-star or a 0-star, but has had a 1-star
because
they
didn't
account for a couple of Builder Huts, yep, putting the Town Hall back together, right, at a rate that they were not expecting. Yeah. And so I never sell the Builder Hut short. I also feel like it was just a genius way for Clash of Clans. And I've mentioned this before. I just love the color, right? The notion of, like, you're wrecking my stuff. I'm going to put it back together and I'm going to try to cut you down while you're attacking. So, like, I thought the flavor was super cool, but I was really excited with Town Hall 14. And the spell tower to me is, and I like what you mentioned about Burnt Base, because it is something that clearly Burnt Base is a very skilled bot system, algorithm, collection mechanism, whatever it is, in that it is able to help people figure out how to attack bases. And they, the, the designers probably will be able to code something in to help try and identify what kind of spell was coming out of the spell tower. But mm-hmm. what that's going to do is it'll just reduce the likelihood that you will find a quick, easy match. And it will also probably increase the likelihood of somebody just easily, like you said, being able to switch to a different setting. I had been making some Town Hall 15 predictions over the summer, and I was thinking that it would be cool to have a defense that did not deal damage directly, but still somehow upset the attack and change the landscape. And you know, when I had mentioned it before, Tip had said, oh, it'd be cool, like an earthquake thing. I said, yeah, I was, my name was like a tremor generator. But in a lot of ways, the spell tower does something just like that. It can confuse the attack by slowing and weakening the troops. It can confuse the attack by suddenly making, I mean, imagine like you're going in for an attack and all of a sudden it's not just two expos that are targeting your queen, but four. Because that's essentially what happens when the rage spell winds up triggering. And then the invisibility obviously is going to create all kinds of pathing issues and problems when people are like, I've got this down. And invisibility triggers. It's like, oh, all right, well, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go somewhere else. And I think that spell tower is super cool. Like I think they've done an amazing job. I do think the color scheme is cool. I'm not in love with the cannon and the mortar. They almost seem like a little too blobby of the same color, but you know, whatever. Well, you know, I can nitpick as much as I want to, but I think the color scheme is cool. I think the theme is really cool. I think a couple of other things I can't say anything about are super cool as well, but it's, I'm just really, really excited. I think they've done an amazing job. I feel like they're doing a good job of getting like a bunch of hype built up around it. And, you know, like Ari said, like, it's like the next thing, like we've been ready for a little while. Like I've been waiting for it. I can't wait to get in there.
You know what I think the invisibility spell tower is going to kind of look like? And Aries, you, of course, remember this, but back in the day when you were at Town Hall 9, I don't know if you used hogs at Town Hall 9 at all and watched One Hive Jake and all of his, you know, how to OP hog videos, but you always used to have to pull the clan castle. Always. You had to figure out a way to get in there to pull the clan castle. And as Town Hall 14, Town Hall 13, Town Hall 14 has kind of gone on, yes, the clan capital is important, but it's not as important as it was at Town Hall 9, as important as it used to be. I kind of see strategies evolving where an attacker has to figure out a way to trigger the invisibility tower, because trample, it only triggers once. Is that correct?
No. So this is one that, each of the spells will have a different reload time. And I'll just keep it simple because I remember that the rage spell is 50 seconds. I think the invisibility spell is 40. But let's say the rage tower, when a building that is inside the range of the rage tower gets damaged by a troop or a unit. So earthquake spell will not do it. Like if you hit the town hall with an earthquake spell and there's an invisibility next to it, it will not trigger that invisibility. So that's one thing. Like I thought it was really smart. One of the practice wars, I was like, this is gonna be easy. I'm gonna trigger the invisibility way before I get there. I dropped the earthquake and I was like, damn. didn't do what I thought it was going to do. I mean, I still got 2 stars. So I was like, cool. Cause there weren't, I'm going to say it was a 30 V 30 war. At the very first one, there were like 3 triples, but no, it was 4 on one side, 2 on the other. So 6 altogether. I definitely think that it's something where people, yes, they're going to try and cheat around it because they have to wait a certain amount of time. But like the invisibility, I think it's 40 seconds. So let's say you have a troop that damages one of the buildings and it's like the spell tower sort of just like tosses it. And the animation on the poison tower is kind of cool because it will actually throw the poison spell, which is something interesting. Like you picture a battle blimp, right? Battle blimp is on its way to the town hall and it maybe drops a bomb because it drops bombs on its way to the town hall. It'll hit a building triggering the poison spell and it kind of like lobs it out almost like the scatter shot, just kind of like, you know, shoots its little target stuff. So it lobs the poison bomb, hits where it hits, and then it creates its radius from wherever it lands. It doesn't do it just from the exact area of the spell tower like it does for the rage spell and the invisibility spell. But as soon as it triggers, a timer starts. And after 40 seconds, you'll see it slowly, like another invisibility spell is starting to emerge from the spell tower. And then after 40 seconds, it's basically now reloaded and it will be able to trigger a second time in the attack. Same thing will happen for the rage and the poison. Once it takes its initial blast and then it you know, forces its spell to hit wherever it's hitting, it then starts a timer and can reestablish itself, which more often than not, I think what's going to happen is because you've got troops that are in range of whatever that spell tower is, it's probably going to be destroyed before it has time to reload. But there will definitely be times when it gets a chance to reload, especially if you do something like a Blizz where you drop into the middle of the base. Maybe the invisibility triggers and the troops manage to get some of their targets, but the invisibility spell tower doesn't go down. By the time the rest of your troops come sailing through, it's probably going to be ready to drop another one.
Wow. So hearing all that, Aries, are you rethinking any of your thoughts or maybe your base building techniques?
Yeah, I'm scared. I'm just kind of scared. I mean, but it's going to be like right now I'm at the point, and I'll say this honestly, I've said this to my community too. I'm at the point where I kind of just like, I'm on autopilot with Blizz Lalo, and that's not a really good place to be with a kind of a strategic Lalo attack right. in general. But for me, I don't want to be kind of like monotonously dropping troops. Like I want to actually think about it. Now, I know that's not everybody's play style, which is interesting to see how those kind of players adapt to these changes. But I'm intrigued and I like the challenge, you know, of how will I'm going to have to totally think of the base a different way. You know, like how I can't just click onto a base and hit it and make sure I've got the safe two. You know, I've really got to be careful. And two, I'm anxious to see how it's going to affect some of the competitive wars. I think we're honestly going to be seeing a lot more one stars than used to. Because, I mean, there's been several wars that I've streamed that have been double perfect wars. And we're all just like, oh, okay, another perfect war. So I think this is going to definitely change that.